My guest at this time is Frank Gaffney. He is the president of the Center for Security Policy. He also served as an assistant secretary of defense in the Reagan administration. He joins me now to provide some insights and some context into what we're seeing now with a greater and greater furor over allegations from the CIA and others that Russia played an active role in the U.S. elections this year and specifically to help Donald Trump get elected. And Frank, thanks very much for being with us.
It's good to be with you. Thanks, Greg.
We've heard in past weeks, of course, allegations that this was happening, that there were different law enforcement sources that tied the WikiLeaks emails and the DNC hack back to Russia. Donald Trump, of course, has disputed whether that's been definitively figured out. But now it's gone from a vague trying to undermine the democracy to specifically trying to help Donald Trump. What do we know for sure, given that a lot of the sourcing on this remains anonymous, at least right now?
Well, that's the key point. What we know, that is to say the public, is very limited. It really comes down to some press accounts based on unnamed sources in the CIA or people talking about briefings that they had from CIA or FBI or others. But it's fragmentary at best, Greg, and at worst, it's a lot of hearsay.
What type of investigation needs to take place here, and what are the important questions to ask?
It sounds as though the Congress will hold hearings in which they try to definitively establish what has been documented by the intelligence community at this point. I don't know if there will be enough there to render a finding, or whether, if there is, they'll be able to do it in an unclassified way. One thing that is clearly of concern is that this has now become so laced with politics that it may corrupt any such investigation. And when I say laced with politics, this is, on the one hand, a case of sort of a partisan agenda, unmistakably, to call into question Donald Trump's election or otherwise to impugn his relationship with the Russians, past, present, or future. But what's also at work, which is not often called to mind, is the extent to which the same people who are cavilling so much about Donald Trump and his rather benign attitude, we're told, towards Russia, are the very people who, under the previous administration, the now outgoing administration, that of Barack Obama, have done much to pander to and try to appease Vladimir Putin. So it's a confused situation, to say the least, and what exactly an investigation will determine, or even, you know, how concrete the evidence will be that they'll have to work with is far from clear at the moment.
Nobody seems to have any evidence that Russia actually impacted the vote counting. They may have impacted what we talked about leading up to Election Day. What do you make of the White House initially after the election saying there's no evidence that Russia played a major role here, now getting to the point, perhaps in response to some of these reports from the CIA and elsewhere, that it seems very clear that Russia did this with the intent to help Donald Trump? And you now even have Hillary Clinton's campaign asking for an Electoral College elector intelligence briefing.
Yeah. Again, I think this has gotten laced with politics to the point where it's hard to be certain that people are dealing in good faith. Hillary Clinton, of course, was among those who was most aggressive in trying to fashion a reset in relations with Putin, according to my friend Peter Schweitzer, the author of Clinton Cash, who made arrangements with the Russians or cronies of Vladimir Putin that were beneficial to the Clinton Foundation, and the Russians, of course, not so much to the United States. So those are things that are perhaps weighing on some of us who are a little skeptical about what's going on here. But I think the bottom line is this. If there is going to be an investigation, it should be done not against some sort of arbitrary deadline like the president's end of office. It should be done on a bipartisan basis. I think it should be done by competent members of the United States House of Representatives and the Senate, and let the chips fall where they may. We certainly don't want foreign governments, the Russians, the Chinese, or anybody else, engaging in interference on our elections. And I think we need to understand that the Russians, and for that matter, the Chinese and others, are both capable of doing this and probably have done it in the past, as well as what they've been up to of late. And they will almost certainly try to do it again in the future. There is a question then that comes out of all this. Can we prevent it? Perhaps by deterring it in some form or fashion, or otherwise raising the costs to them of engaging in it. And I hope that will be a focus going forward.
Just a quick follow-up on that before we get to one or two other things before we let you go. On the issue of Russia and their cyber espionage activity, we know, as you've just said, that they're very aggressive in that department. We don't know the full extent of what's gone on here. But as a longtime Cold Warrior, what does it tell you about where Putin is leading this government right now?
You know, we did a book recently, a collection of essays about what we call Putin's reset. The bear is back, and what America must do about it. That lays out across a broad front what Putin is up to in terms of not just activities like this in cyberspace, but more traditional military activities that are aggressive and dangerous, nuclear buildups and threats of the use of nuclear weapons, his information operations, disinformation, influence activities, economic warfare, and the like. And I think any objective reader of this collection of essays comes to the conclusion that Putin is a dangerous adversary, not a man that we can safely do business with. And as long as he is president of Russia, I fear that there will be needless and potentially dangerous hostility emanating from the Kremlin and harming our interests and perhaps our security.
Frank, in the interest of full disclosure, you do have a role in the Trump transition, and you just described Trump a few minutes ago as having a perhaps benign approach to Russia. Do you think he fully grasps the threat that Putin presents, as you've just laid out?
Well, to be clear, I actually don't have a role.
Oh, you don't? I'm sorry. I thought you did.
I'm able. No, well, there was a rumor to that effect that was unfounded and has not been adequately corrected, to my frustration. But I have friends who are working for the president-elect, and I'm hoping there will be many more before the administration is fully staffed up. And I think most, if not all of them, are very clear-eyed about the problem that Russia poses to us, and I am reasonably sure that that will be something that Donald Trump takes aboard and adjusts to reflect in the course of the early days of his presidency.
When it comes to the flip side, America's role in influencing elections, I know that the Clinton administration did so in helping Ehud Barak defeat Bibi Netanyahu, and there's plenty of reporting that the Obama administration tried to defeat Bibi Netanyahu in his last prime ministerial election. So what's fair game and what's not in these situations?
I think it's generally a bad practice to be interfering in the elections of your friends. Where there are opportunities to help friendly people in what would otherwise be hostile nations, I think that's something that it's in the national interest to do. This is presumably very much the approach that Vladimir Putin is taking. I'm simply saying that where we are being subjected to that kind of interference, we ought to do what we can to thwart it. I think that presidents of the United States should not be trying to subvert the elections of our friends in Israel or other friendly nations. And where we can help bring about changes, fundamental systemic changes in hostile nations, adversaries of ours, by supporting countries' opposition movements that are pro-democratic, freedom-loving, that's as I say, fair game.
Frank, we'll be following. Thanks very much, as always, for your insights.
Pleasure. Good to talk with you, Craig.
Frank Affney is president of the Center for Security Policy. He's a former assistant secretary of defense in the Reagan administration. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.